More than anything else, oil will drive the rebuilding of Iraq. The country possesses proven oil reserves of 115 billion barrels, second in the world only to neighbor Saudi Arabia. The Iraqis are looking to their oil production to pay for long-overlooked social needs, such as water systems, education, health care, and housing. NPR's John Burnett reports from Baghdad they also are deeply suspicious of U.S. motives when it comes to their oil reserves.
When the United States began the reconstruction of post-Taliban Afghanistan, the country provided little in the way of natural resources. Namely, it had rugs and opium. Iraq possesses an enormous advantage. Vast reserves of untapped oil lie beneath the desert. Enough, said one oil expert with a grin, to reconstruct the country three times over. How to get it flowing is the immediate challenge. On that front, the news is encouraging. The Allied bombardment of Iraq in 1991 virtually destroyed the oil infrastructure, but this time around, damage is relatively light, says Defat al-Hishab, manager of the Dora refinery in Baghdad.
This refinery was bombarded in 1991. It was destroyed to a great limit. The difference between 91 and this war, they did not intend to bombard the refinery.
After the recent invasion, the worst problems appear to be partial looting of oil ministry buildings, bomb damage to a few underground pipelines, and 6 to 12 oil wells blown in the south, though most fires have been extinguished. Perhaps most alarming, in the town of Abu Ghraib, west of Baghdad, hundreds of Iraqis broke into an oil ministry warehouse containing highly toxic chemicals. Al-Hishab, the refinery manager, says looters stole thousands of empty barrels that formerly stored tetraethyl lead, an additive to gasoline, which, if inhaled or exposed to the skin, can be deadly. There are also reports that thieves dumped out drums of poisonous chemicals in order to make off with the containers. Refinery manager Defat al-Hishab.
The chairs, the furniture, computers we can replace, TVs we can replace. But things like that, once it's out of hand, you cannot control it.
Oil is critical to getting Iraq back on its feet because all the nation's electric generating plants run on diesel or fuel oil. Lieutenant Colonel John O'Brien, the Marine Civil Affairs officer in charge of getting the oil network back up and running, says they're making progress.
It really is a matter of getting the right people back in their jobs and turning the flow back on. And met with some senior officials today. They're prepared to do that and could have it flowing within a week or less.
Iraqi officials say it will take 2 to 3 weeks before the pipelines are open and Iraq's three major refineries are operating again. Once the oil is flowing, in Baghdad there is suspicion at American intentions. On the day the capital fell, Iraqis noticed that U.S. troops allowed looters to ransack and burn other government ministries, while the Marines swiftly descended on the oil ministry complex. Dr. Farazdag El-Haddad, deputy chief of oil exploration, stands in front of his ministry, now ringed with Marines and concertina wire.
Why they didn't guard other buildings except this building? This is a question I have to ask.
No one knows what the United States will do as the occupying power of such an oil-rich nation. Will it sell itself Iraqi oil at favorable rates or pay off war expenses with Iraqi oil profits? Colonel John O'Brien insists that America will not meddle with Iraq's new oil ministry.
We have no desire to control any of it. We want the Iraqi people to start it up, to provide the services that will give the people of Baghdad and all of Iraq electrical service. That's what we want to get back so that people can go back to their normal lives as normal as they can.
Iraqis who know their history have listened with a certain queasiness to pronouncements from Washington. After British forces drove the Ottoman Turks out of Iraq in 1917, British General Stanley Maude proclaimed his army came as liberators, not conquerors, and pledged that it is Britain's wish that you should prosper. Fanar Abbas Raghbon, Director General of Planning in the Iraqi Oil Ministry, said he's heard speeches by George W. Bush and Tony Blair.
They both said that Iraqi oil is for the Iraqi people. We have not come to control or take or etc. We are happy to hear that, okay? But we are waiting for deeds, right, not just words.
Regardless how Washington and London use the oil, Iraqi oil officials say there's bound to be improvement. Saddam Hussein used oil proceeds as his personal bank account, spending lavishly on the military and the construction of palaces. Meanwhile, the United Nations mandated that a quarter of Iraq's oil revenue go to pay reparations for the Gulf War. Iraq expects the UN sanctions to be canceled soon. Freed from these spending priorities, Iraqi oil officials hope Iraq may finally share the prosperity of its oil-rich Arab neighbors. John Burnett, NPR News, Baghdad.